This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, hello New Zealand and welcome to another episode of Turn the Page. My name is Mark Pacey from the Wired Up Archive, and today we're going back to our original formula. I'm taking you through three of the stories that I've written in the past from various aspects of our past. I did ask around about what I might be able to talk about. I suggested, can you do three animal stories? So we have three animal stories coming up for you. The country may be familiar with eagle versus shark, but what of camel versus elephant? On September 28, 1981, the circus came to town. Circuses had been to Masterton before and put on spectacles, but this one was going to be a bit different. Not confined to the Solway showgrounds or other fields where the circus could set up, this one brought the attraction right to the main street, much to the delight of the townspeople. The plan was to put on a small show for everyone and make it entertaining as well as competitive, and invite the public to take part. The first event was the Test of Strength. A group of children who believed they had what it took were on one side, and Sheba the elephant was on the other. The game? Tug of war. A chain was tethered between the two sides. Sheba would fight alone, while a line of children with their hands on the chain made up the other. Could these tough, wired upper kids hold up against the might of a single elephant? No. Sheba won quite convincingly, but everyone had fun, and not many kids can say they have tried to out-muscle an elephant. But this was not the main event. That was still to come. This was just the warm-up for Sheba. The real test was about to begin. Sheba's opponent was brought in. Hippy the camel was deemed a worthy adversary against Sheba, but they would not be playing tug-of-war against each other. This was a bit more traditional, a good old-fashioned race. While people grasp the concept of a race quite easily, animals do not always find it so simple. They need a bit of human influence, so it was decided that each animal should have a rider to steer them along. But to keep it fair, members of the public would be chosen as their jockeys. For Sheba, 2ZD's Don Wiseman was chosen and had to find a way up onto the elephant's back and, more importantly, how to stay on. Hippie's human counterpart would be the Times Age's own Peter Bale. Camels are a bit different to horses, and for both Sheba and Hippie, there were no saddles. Bale had an advantage of having a hump to hold onto. Wiseman was faced with the wide back and solid neck of the elephant and hoped he would be able to stay on. For the sake of safety, the drivers and the crowd, each animal had a handler which led them by hand with tethers to each. This would ensure they stayed on target, and neither Don nor Peter would end up on an impromptu tour of Masterton. It started as a close match, but soon Hippy and Peter took the lead and were able to maintain that for the rest of the course. Sheba was close behind, but couldn't quite match the youthful gallop of Hippy. The adventure was not quite over. Peter had won the race, but he still had to claim his cup. And it would not be easy to keep the challenge going. His cup was placed in the lion's enclosure, and he would need to go in with these fearsome predators to get it. Children and parents alike watched on as Peter entered the cage and carefully collected his winning cup, and also watched on by four lionesses who were snarling and pawing at the ground. Would Peter end up as their dinner that night? Not this time. A brave reporter emerged from his encounter with his cup and the knowledge that he'd not only faced four lions, but was the champion rider in the epic face-off that was camel versus elephant. All right, that is your first story. I play a piece of music now. I've got a small dedication to read here. This is going, make sure I get this correct, this is going out to Ram Ram Binks from your friend Corey. This is no joke. You really are... hang on, I've read this wrong. You really are the comeback king, is that right? Anyway, this is Only You by the Platters.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you
And that was Only You by the Platters. Some of the younger people out there will probably recognise it as being part of the Far Cry 5 game, but everyone else will know it for other reasons. Okay, on to our next story. April 14, 1983 was just an average Thursday. The Masterton Fire Brigade had been called out to two false alarms. Unemployment was on the rise in Australia, the River Rhine was flooding, and David Bowie had re-emerged as Mr. Clean and was about to embark on his first tour in 5 years. The Masterton people went about their business and the neighbourhood animals did the same, except for one plucky cat. A black and white feline, who went by the feline equivalent of John Doe of names, when shamed in the paper as Moggy, was strolling around the neighbourhood outside of his property. Feeling bold, he calmly and coolly strode about Coraline Street without a care in the world. But then he realised that the neighbourhood wasn't exactly welcoming of cats, even though he believed they should be. A pair of large German shepherds were also living in the neighbourhood, and they just couldn't take this young cat striding about like he owned the place. He needed to be taught a lesson. What began as a casual stroll along the pavement turned into a hot pursuit when the dogs, unable to contain themselves any longer, took after young Moggy to put him in his place. Startled by this seemingly unprovoked attack of aggression, Moggy searched about for a safe place. Fences were useless. These giant dogs could scale them no problems at all. And then he saw his freedom, a nearby lamppost. Dogs can't climb, he thought, and immediately scaled the 5-meter pole. Smug that he was now out of reach of the two monsters. But while he was out of reach of the two dogs, he was also out of reach of everything else too. His house, his bed, his food bowl. There was little of that on top of a lamppost. Just to be sure, he walked along the arm and came to rest at the top of the lampshade. Their work done, the dogs left Moggy to his chosen perch, confident that they'd put him in his place, but now Moggy was in a precarious situation. While it was easy enough to scale up the lamppost, how on earth was he going to get down? Would people even notice him up there? Luckily for Moggy, a passerby did, and made a phone call to the wired upper power board. Soon enough, a truck arrived, and an appliance serviceman, Noel Bassett, placed his ladder against the pole and made the slow climb up to Moggy. Reaching up, he grabbed the forlorn kitty around his middle and climbed down to safety with him. Moggy looked about, seeing the two canny canines were still marauding about. But before he could fully assess the situation, Bassett placed Moggy behind a fence of a nearby house. A short fence. Sure enough, the two dogs saw all this and gave chase once more. This time Moggy was sensible and stayed with his paws on the ground, choosing to crawl under a house instead. Fully convinced now that young Moggy knew who the real kings of the neighbourhood were, the shepherding German shepherds finally left the startled cat to mull on his thoughts. Okay, that's that one. Now I'm going to place another piece of music. This is, and I'll tell you a story about this one afterwards, but I'll play it first. This is Robson and Jerome doing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Dear
Robson and Jerome doing Amazing Grace. Oh, I promised you a story. Oh, well, it's very short, I promise. So that was one of Dad's favourite cassettes, which is showing how far back we're going. And he would play it a lot. Luckily for the rest of the household, he did have headphones and he would listen to it quite often with headphones on, very loudly as well. We could still hear it. So he would play it quite a lot. He had a day off work one day and he was doing some work around the house and he was doing some work outside. Thought, okay, well, if I'm outside, I want to be able to listen to some music. I'll aim the speakers and aim them out the window, turn the stereo up really loudly and play my Robson and Jerome Amazing Grace. So he's outside working, listening to that. Quite loud. Not loud by today's standards, but loud enough. So he's outside working away, and then neighbour comes up to the fence. He's a nice, nice guy, nice elderly man, retired man, comes to the fence and gets Dad's attention. And of Dad's thinking, oh no, we have to turn this down. I like this song. It's nice working to music. Goes over and starts talking to him. And instead, the neighbour says, this is brilliant. Can you turn it up so I can hear it better? So, I remember Dad telling me that story is a brilliant, brilliant one. How often does that happen where you have loud music and the person who's on the receiving end says, turn it up? Okay, last story. I read the intro. No, I don't. Skippy enjoyed her early puppy years running about her yard and chasing the neighbourhood cats and getting into mischief. That all changed one dark day when she ventured a little too far down her drive into the road. A truck was driving by and little Skippy wasn't fast enough to avoid it and was hit. Limping her way along, the owner saw that she was badly hurt and took her to the vet. One of Skippy's front legs was very badly damaged and broken in several places. After trying for weeks, the vets had to admit they had failed. Skippy was not going to get any better and probably had to be put down. But after 3 weeks, the vets had come to love this little adventurer. Just 8 months old, she'd not had much of a life and still should have had many more adventures. If she could be saved, then she would be saved. And what's more, the vets would do it all for free. Surely there was someone out there that would take in this poor, crippled puppy. A young Masterton businesswoman happened to meet young Skippy and fell in love with her. she would gladly take her in and give her a new home. But first they had to decide what to do about poor Skippy's leg. After trying everything, it was decided that Skippy's leg was too badly damaged to be saved. Skippy would join the ranks of camera supports and alien war machines and live her life on three legs. After healing up for her operation, Skippy got a new lease of life. She showed the others that even though she was missing a leg, she could still run about and chase cats and get into mischief with the best of them. Life was looking up. Skippy had a new family and was full of life once again. But then news came that would be hard to take for both Skippy and her new family. Skippy's mistress had been offered a new job, a great opportunity for her, but there was a catch. Where she was moving to had an unfortunate policy. No dogs allowed. Skippy was now without a home again and was facing a bleak future. If a new home could not be found for her, she would be making a premature trip to doggy heaven. Seeing a pure soul and a life that was well worth continuing, the Wired Upper Times Age agreed to help. They invited young Skippy to come and spend the day with them. She learned all about newspapers and even gave typing a go, doing well with just one paw. The paper let the community know that here was a puppy, bursting with life that needed a new home. If anyone would like to adopt her, they should get in touch. Would Skippy be adopted and get to live out her days, hopping around on her three legs? As it turned out, there were several people that said they would like to have this young pup in their families. Nearly 20, in fact. The Times Age had a choice to make. Which family would be the ones to take on this furry little adventurer? In the end, it was the Garbutt family that welcomed Skippy into their fold. Bob Garbutt was a contractor and now had a new and eager young apprentice who would accompany him on jobs. Skippy had a new life and even had a new name. From now on, she was Speed, showing that despite her disability, she was still full of life and eager to continue her adventures with her new family. Well, I'll play one more piece of music and then I've brought back the jokes. But this is quite possibly the best joke I have ever said on the radio. It's up there with the sesame seed one. It's very, very good. So I'll play you a piece of music first. Okay, and following with what I've done before, we played two ones with lyrics. This is the one from one of my soundtracks. This is High Council Meeting and Qui-Gon's Funeral from Star Wars Episode 1 soundtrack by the brilliant John Williams. That was the brilliant John Williams. How he layers so many different things together. He's there. Very good. So as promised, I have brought the jokes back. This, like I said, this one is absolutely fantastic. As soon as I saw it, I thought, that's such a good joke. How have I never heard this before? Why do dogs make terrible dance partners? Because they have two left feet. I mean, that's genius. Whoever came up with that should be given an award and a statue or something, because that is the pinnacle of joke telling. What, that is pretty much me done for the day. I will have one more show on Monday. That'll be my last one for at least 3 weeks. I'm going overseas on a holiday, so I will be here on Monday. But then you won't hear from me for, like I said, at least 3 weeks. Maybe four. It depends how quickly I recover when I come back. Apparently jet lag is quite nasty. I've never really experienced it because I've only ever been as far as Australia, and that's what, a three-hour flight, I think. That's just like going anywhere else in New Zealand. So it's going to be interesting. So I'll probably have some stories to tell when I come back. So I will catch up with you on Monday. We will follow the same thing. We'll get you three more stories, three more bits of music, and another joke. But I probably can't top that one, because that is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to tell more people that joke. More people need to know it. So yes, that's it for me. Hopefully, what am I saying? I'm looking at the weather going, is it really 20 degrees? 21 degrees outside now, apparently. Mostly sunny. Yeah, I'll believe that. So have a great week. Look after yourselves. I will catch up with you on Monday, and then, like I said, there will be a bit of a gap after that, but I'm sure there'll be other things that you can listen to. You can always go back and listen to some of the old ones if you want to as well. Have a brilliant one, and we'll catch up with you next week. See you later.